John 19, verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father, we praise you for revealing yourself to us, for dwelling now here with us. We pray that your word would penetrate our hearts and minds through your Spirit. You know how we need it, and so we pray that you would help us to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Having grown up in the church, I have a certain soft spot in my heart for Bible trivia. Some of you know what I'm talking about. One of the most popular Bible trivia questions is, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? Some of you are thinking already, knowing it. John 11:35, Jesus wept. And as you grow up and you grow deeper into that passage and you walk through certain trials in life, especially the trial of death, you know that those two words, Jesus wept, they punch above their weight class in terms of their significance. That in just two words, two syllables, Jesus reveals so much about his love and humanity and tender compassion for those who grieve. In a similar way, these two words here, I thirst, contain within them and around them a seemingly endless wealth of comforting truths about Jesus and his relationship to us, again, in just two short syllables. Since our time is brief, my hope is that God the Father would plant just four small seeds in your minds now that I pray that God the Spirit will help you water them in prayer through this day, and that they would bear much fruit in praise to God the Son. With these two words, Jesus does four things. First, with these two words, Jesus fulfills a prophecy. We don't have to dig very far to see that that's true. John lays it out plainly for us in verse 28. Says that Jesus said these things knowing that all was now finished, and he said these things to fulfill the scripture. The scripture, of course, is the one we read at the beginning of this service from Psalm 69. Perhaps you caught it. In Psalm 69, verse 21, David writes, they've given me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me a sour wine to drink. Roughly 1,000 years before Jesus thirsted on the cross, David gave a prophecy about a servant of God in distress because of his enemies. David fulfilled that prophecy and those words in his own life directly, but partially. Jesus, in his life, and especially at this moment on the cross, fulfilled those words directly and completely. He truly knew what it meant to be scorned by enemies. And he received that sponge and that sour wine in fulfillment of what God has promised. Beloved, if there is any doubt in your mind that God is not going to keep his promises to you, rest assured that we can look to Jesus and look even to this moment in Jesus' life and know God keeps his promises. It may feel slow. It often does. But he's always, always faithful. Second, with these two words, Jesus confirms his humanity. Consider that the divine Son of God thirsts. He experiences a human condition. Several of Jesus' last words confirm his deity when he says, "Father, forgive them," or "Today you'll be with me in paradise," or my God, you, why have you forsaken me?" So many, they're revealing layers of Jesus as God, his divine nature and work. But in these two words, Jesus reveals his humanity. It's the only of the seven last sayings, really, that emphasizes the humanity, the human nature of Jesus. Consider that the one who made water and separated the waters above from the waters beneath in creation now thirsted. The one who divided the waters at the Red Sea so his people could pass through and be delivered now thirsted. The one who was baptized in the waters of the Jordan River and declared to be the Son of God in whom the Father was well pleased, now thirsted. The one who changed water to wine, who told the woman at the well that he was living water, who walked on water, who calmed the waves, who ruled over every droplet in all creation, thirsted. Many of you have used a sponge to wet the mouth of a dehydrated, dying loved one. Here Jesus had a sponge lifted by enemies to his weak, frail, thirsty, dying body. Third, with these two words, Jesus guarantees his sympathy. His sympathy. As a human being, come to rescue his people in humanity, Jesus has sympathy for us amidst our physical weaknesses and all the experience of living life in a broken, fallen world. Jesus has sympathy. That's the word that Hebrews uses. It's a word that summarizes so much of Jesus' character and heart towards his people. He has sympathy for those who are needy. We read that again in Psalm 69. Psalm 69, 33, listen to these words. It says, "The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners." He hears the needy. He does not despise his own people who are prisoners. This verse speaks of God hearing the cries of the needy, hearing the cries of those who are suffering. Whatever you are experiencing in your life today, Jesus does not merely know and care. Whatever you're experiencing, Jesus has experienced. He has navigated every imaginable physical frailty, material need, relational strife, existential trauma, demonic temptation, legal injustice, and inner turmoil in his life and in his body. And so he does not merely look down on the cross to his suffering people in some cool detachment or judgment, but in sympathy. He not only sympathizes with us in our suffering, he sympathizes with us in our sin. That second half of Psalm 69, 33, it says, he hears the needy, he does not despise his own people who are in prison. In the Psalms, that metaphor of prison is used to describe people who are in the bondage of sin. And Jesus does not despise his people when they are in sin. He sympathizes. This does not excuse or minimize their sin. It cannot be tolerated. Sin must be addressed. But the good news is that Jesus, in his sympathy for us, his own people, has addressed that sin for us in our place. As Fernando so beautifully sang, God, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows us and laid down his life for us. And no one can take it away. No one can take that away. And so lastly, with these two words, Jesus foreshadows his glory, the glory specifically of the atonement, the glory of sin defeated and conquered and removed for his people. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark mention the sponge being lifted on a reed, but here in John, it's described as being lifted on a hyssop branch. Hyssop was the plant that the priests of the Old Testament used to dip in the blood of the sacrifice and to use to sprinkle on the curtain in the tabernacle and temple, and used to sprinkle the people in recognition that atonement had been made for their sins. And so John describes this sponge being lifted on a hyssop branch, lifted to Jesus' mouth, pointing to the fact that his thirsting was a part of his atonement for us as his people. Why did Jesus thirst? To pay for our sins. That Jesus thirsted for us in our place to be living water for you and me. Let us receive that as a gift this day. Take comfort in his promise and trust your souls, your hearts, your lives to the one who knows you and has loved you unto death. Father, we pray that you would take your word and seal it to our hearts. We pray that you would fix the eyes of our hearts on Jesus this day and every day. We pray that we would find in him a perfect Savior and a good shepherd to lead us home. Let's continue now in prayer silently, individually for a few moments for those things that are on your hearts as God's people. Lift them up now to the Lord.